Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he is found? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit, touch our hearts, our minds, enliven our souls. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Samantha was a black lab, a smart dog with gentle, affectionate personality. We called her Sam. And when you called Sam's name, she would come over to you and stare up at you with those big brown eyes seeking affection. She loved to be petted. She loved to curl up in front of a warm fire and chase squirrels. Sam was just like a member of the family. When I was growing up, she slept in my bed, kept my feet warm all night. Sam was a wonderful dog, but she did love to escape. My friends and I used to spend a lot of time chasing her around the neighborhood. When Sam reached age 10, she went missing. I was in college, and I wasn't told about this till later, but my parents had gone out of town and left Sam in the care of my grandparents. And one day she ran off, and they couldn't find her. My parents returned home from the trip, and Sam was still missing. Days went by, a week went by, everyone gave up hope. One day my grandpa was walking through his backyard to a building on an adjacent piece of property. When he heard a whimper, he looked around, he didn't see anything, and he heard the whimper again, and he went over to the building and peered down into a deep window well, and there at the bottom was Sam. She had fallen into the window well, and she was getting older. Her arthritis in her hips, she couldn't get out, and she'd lain in that window well for over a week. But she was still alive. She was rushed to the vet, and the amazing thing is she survived for several more years. There was much rejoicing because everyone had given up hope when Sam was lost, but the day when she was found, rescued, and saved, there was much rejoicing. Have you ever lost something of great value and been earnestly pursuing it? How did you feel when you found it? We're considering the scripture readings this fall in a sermon series entitled Treasure Hunting, Pursuing Lasting Fulfillment in Discovering God's Gifts for the Heart. Time and again this fall, the scriptures, especially Jesus, will be warning us about not investing our lives in the wrong things, the things that in the final analysis turn out to be hollow, worthless, unsatisfying. Last week, I spoke about the incredible treasure of blessing to be found for us in reading and studying God's word. Psalm 1 told us that those who make it their practice to delight in God's word day and night, their lives will become like stately trees planted by living water. Today, we're considering treasure 2, discovering the wonder of being lost, but then found. The scene in the gospel reading this morning is that Jesus is hanging around with the wrong people. He's spending time with tax collectors and notorious sinners. The religious leaders of the day looked down upon such people and considered especially those tax collectors to be traitors and corrupt. And they didn't want anyone to think that they condoned the sinful behavior, and they didn't want to have their purity defiled by spending time in the company of such people. Along comes Jesus, healing, holding crowds spellbound with his teaching. And rather than consult with the religious leaders, spending time discussing and debating theology with them, the Son of God goes to the outcast, the despised, and the lowly. And it causes the scribes and Pharisees to grumble. The scribes and Pharisees are offended. And rather than focus on the need to reach the lost, they're concerned with themselves. What will people think if they were to allow the wrong crowd to join them? They themselves might feel very uncomfortable around such people. This just isn't done. It's not the way it's been done before. It's not what they themselves want, and so they grumble because they're not getting their way. How often it is the case that we grumble, not because of something happening to others, but because things don't go our own way. But Jesus is concerned about others. And in response, he tells these parables about seeking things that are lost. Today, a lost sheep and a lost coin. Now, it would have been a common occurrence in an agrarian society to have sheep wander off. One sheep, with its head down, moves in the opposite direction from the rest, seeking some new grass here, some water there, and without intending to do it, it becomes separated from the flock. Michael Wilcock, in his commentary on Luke, writes, "This lost sheep is wandering on and on, from one patch of grass to the next, from hour to hour, eyes only on what immediately lies ahead, short-sightedly unaware that he's not where he should be, while all the time he's straying further and further from the flock and the fold. That is, in one sense, in which man is lost to God." The sheep is missing the bigger picture, only focused on what's in front of its nose. The sheep is unaware, not necessarily intending to leave the rest, not rejecting the flock, not realizing that its actions are putting it in grave danger. The sheep doesn't even realize that it's lost at first. How easy it is for us to be like that sheep, isn't it? To be just focused on what's in front of us, the clamor of life, the tyranny of the urgent. Sometimes it seems like surviving in this fast-paced world takes everything we've got. And we can, day after day, month after month, year after year, put off seeking God and things spiritual. Not rejecting God, just forgetting about him. Keeping our head down, focusing on finding more grass. And then suddenly we realize that somehow or other we've lost our way. I've seen this. Time and again, I've seen people who have reached the latter stages of their lives who regretted drifting away from God. I've known people who were dying who suddenly wished they had paid more attention to God throughout their life. I've heard them wonder about what really was the meaning of all that time they spent pursuing other things. It's so easy in life to take your eye off the ball, to forget that God is always with us, always near, always ready to hear our prayers, always ready to provide guidance and lead us to claim the unique purpose for which he made us. In my own life, I call it going on autopilot. I do it from time to time myself. It's like I'm asleep to God. And I do things in my own strength. I try to figure it out on my own, and I get off track, and things don't work, and it becomes difficult, and I wake up, and I realize, and I think to myself, what have I been doing? I've been forgetting about God. Even in church work, it's possible to do this, you know. And then I confess it and ask God's help to stay aware and connected with him. How about you? Do you ever lose sight of God and the bigger picture? Forget that God is with you in the midst of the things you're doing. Michael Wilcock again talks about the lost coin. He writes, "The coin is lifeless. It cannot move. It certainly cannot find its own way back like the prodigal son. It can't even bleat for help like the sheep." You ever feel like that? Lifeless? Stuck? Unable to move, unable to find your way, feeling helpless. We live in a culture where people tend to hide their struggles. We live in a culture where people keep up appearances. They can look like everything's fine on the outside when on the inside things aren't going so well. We in the Somerset Hills are smart people, well-educated people with resources. We look good. But things are not always as good as they seem. In our world today, stories surface all the time of people who seem fine on the outside, seem like everything was great, but on the inside we come to find out they were facing major depression, extreme anxiety, they turn violent, they turn to addictive substances, and some even commit suicide. And their friends and neighbors, sometimes even their own family members, are shocked. There might even be some people here this morning who look fine on the outside, but who are feeling lost on the inside. There might be some people here in this church this morning who feel lost to God, who say the words of the prayers, recite the creeds, who sing the songs, but not sure if they believe any of it. Such people can feel lost, feel stuck, feel helpless. And if in any way that is you this morning, this word, this teaching of Jesus is for you. Even when there's nothing you can do and all hope seems lost, like a relentless woman who's lost a valuable coin, we might say like someone who had several hundred dollars in an envelope. She searches the house. She goes through the garbage. She retraces her steps. She leaves no stone unturned until she finds it. Just like that, even more so, God, at this very moment, is seeking you with his love. If you feel lost in any way this morning, even if no one else knows it, God knows. If you feel helpless today, the unsurpassable might of heaven is at hand, pursuing you to effect a rescue. If you have doubts this morning, you aren't sure, you really believe the words you're saying about God, it is okay. God understands, and he loves you despite it all. He is seeking you and pursuing you, just as a shepherd searches diligently through the woods and hills until he finds that lost sheep, just like a woman seeking a valuable coin. You are more important to God than a sheep to a shepherd whose livelihood depends on it. You are more important to God than someone who's lost a lot of money. And it doesn't matter how sinful you are, how worthless you may feel, how low you may have gotten, even at rock bottom, even with tremendous regret, even though you may have made unspeakable mistakes. Tax collectors and sinners were outcast, despised, and called traitors to their people, and yet it is to them who feel so hopelessly lost that Jesus comes speaking words of comfort. Even to the dregs of society, Jesus pursues them with his love. No matter how you may feel, how dark, how hopeless, know this morning. Your deliverer is at hand, your rescue operation has already begun. The supreme example of being lost is Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. In the epistle reading today, the Apostle Paul refers to himself as the foremost of all sinners. He wasn't just an unbeliever who had doubts. Paul was rounding up Christians and dragging them off to prison. He was holding the coats for the people who stoned Stephen to death, the first Christian martyr. And Paul's saying to us that if God can forgive him for being so lost and zealously seeking to bring harm to the people of God, then God can't forgive anyone, no matter what they've done. If God pursued the murderous Saul of Tarsus, he most certainly will pursue us. Can you believe it? Whatever state you're in this morning, Jesus wants you to know that he's right there at your side. He's mounting the rescue. He's bringing about your deliverance. Now, all this talk of being lost and of people who seem okay on the outside but aren't so okay on the inside, that might not be you this morning. But don't you think, well, at least I do, that all of us are probably more lost than we think we are. We're probably wrong about a good many things that we believe. We're probably assuming things, even about God, morality, and religion, that aren't true. We're probably blind to our own weaknesses and how desperately we are in need of healing. Don't you suppose that, at least in part, in some way, we're all a bit like that lost sheep, even though we don't realize it? I love this quote from Thomas Merton. He wrote, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. The fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, will never leave me or face my perils alone." No matter what condition you are in, God is there relentlessly pursuing you. And notice that when we wake up, when we come to our senses, when we realize we're lost but then found, when we realize God's rescued, do you see what happens? The shepherd, the woman who lost the coin, they call their friends and neighbors and say, "Come, rejoice with me." They're celebrating, they're rejoicing that which was lost has been found. And Jesus says, likewise. This is stunning. Likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner who repents. When we wake up and come to our senses, when we realize our sin and confess it, when we realize that we're lost but in Christ have now been found, angels in heaven rejoice over you and over me. Sometimes we might think we're too small to matter. The Lord is the Lord of the universe, and we say, "I'm just one person with a few problems. There are so many worse off that God needs to tend to." And it would be arrogant for me to think that God would be concerned about me. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from what Jesus is telling us this morning. Angels in heaven rejoice when just one sinner repents. There is celebration over the marvelous works of God, even in our lives. God rejoices over you. So wouldn't it make sense then, in light of these parables, to look carefully at how we treat one another? When we encounter others, even if they may seem fine on the outside, they may be lost and desperately hurting on the inside. And we don't know what that person at work, what that person in church, or even that stranger in the grocery store is going through, and it's so easy to grumble because things aren't going our way. And when that person doesn't need more grumbling, there's lots of that in the world. What they need is our kindness, our care, and our love. And who are the sinners and tax collectors to you? Who do you consider the impure, the dregs of society, those not worthy of help or aid? Who annoys you? Who disagrees with you? What people think differently about politics, religion, or how to get the job done than you? God is loving and pursuing them. How might we become more like him with how we live our lives? For God is pursuing the lost, even the parts of our lives that are lost to him. And more amazing than a dog stuck in a window well for over 10 days being saved is God mounting a rescue operation for our souls. God, even at this moment, is pursuing you with his love. Of all the things we value and cherish in this life, all the things we treasure, can we take just a moment this morning and treasure how amazing it is that just as we are, God is pursuing us? Can we join with the angels in heaven this morning and rejoice? Because even though we were lost, in Christ Jesus, we are found. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Let us all stand now and recite together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.